for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, December the 27th, 1998. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jim Coffey of Millington, Tennessee, is the teacher of the afternoon.
I'll tell you right at the beginning, though, deliverance is not the answer to your problem. I see people come to me and they think if they can just get free from this, that's it. Well, you're not going to get free unless you've already dedicated your life to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and do His work and seek Him to be Lord of your life, because that's the only right you have to be set free is to serve God. And if you haven't set your heart to serve God, you're not going to get deliverance anyhow. And we stand up here and by all reasoning and right, people should be getting deliverance all during the service, not at the end when we start calling, because they have come prepared. This is how it should work. This is the way deliverance should work. That it's, you don't wait till I get up here and start calling names of demons and all this. But as we speak the word that comes against that demon, and I'm going to use the word here today, and as I use that word, that should manifest a demon. And he gets uncomfortable when he gets manifested. He does not like to be seen. So, if you get a rumbling and a rolling down inside of you and something just seems to want to move a little bit, don't put your hand over your mouth by any means. Let him out. Let him out. Let him cough him out, spit him out. However the Lord... People ask me, is there a formula for getting deliverance? Yeah, there is. God will do it any way He wants to. And He will not do it every way to every person the same way every time. He'll just do it however He wants to. So, don't stifle and hold back. You say, well, people know I got that. Well, they got worse than you got, so what are you worried about? Would you rather hold on to a demon who's trying his best to destroy you, or let people around you know that, hey, I just got rid of something? Now, you see, that's the alternative that you have. And we would a lot rather get rid of any of the power of Satan that's moving against our life. Now, I have a specific teaching today. I'm going to teach on one of the worst things that I've ever found to come against mankind and to cause him to have problems in his walk with the Lord. And, of course, it's because of demons, but I have found one of the worst things. Now, it's not the only thing. It's by any means. Because they're going to move any way they can to harass you and to come against you. But I'm going to talk on fear today. And that doesn't sound like much. But when you begin to understand fear, you will see what it does to a person and how it hinders and hampers them from moving with the Lord. What is fear? Fear is an emotion. Love is an emotion. Explain why you love your wife and wives why you love your husband. Love. That's all you can say, love. And you cannot explain that chemistry between the two of you. Fear is an emotion too. You can't dig it out and hold it and handle it and look at it and say, here's fear and here's what it is and here's what it looks like. But it tears you up inside. And love bonds you together. But fear will tear you up, and it'll do an opposite work. Fear works in the soul. It's a part, really, of the soul, and it works down inside your soul. What's your soul? Your mind, your will, your emotions, you. All that you are. But primarily, computer. The fleshly part of you that hears, receives. And all the nerve endings work back up here to taste, to smell, to feel. And all of these endings work here to operate to say, hey, this happened. It is this. And it draws your picture up here. You see a picture before you say it in your mind. You realize that? Yes. Up here, this thing's working all the time. And when I speak out, you're getting mental images. in your mind. Now, you don't stop and think about that. I never stopped to think about that, but it had to work some way. And the mind is operating, and a computer is fashioned after your mind. That's how it works. That's what they've got. Now, it isn't near as good as your mind, but that's how they fashioned that thing. So, first of all, you want to be careful about your mind. What do they tell you about the computer? That's a word right there. Garbage in and garbage out. What you put in is what's going to come out. If you sit in front of the idiot box, that one-eyed monster all day long, and you watch the girly shows, and you watch the murder and the violence, what do you wonder what's going to come out of you? It's going to be garbage. It is garbage. That's true. So we want to be careful. The Word says it like this. He says, be careful how you hear. Because what you hear goes right on in up here. It goes through this little channel right up in there. It goes right up somewhere back in here, you know. I don't know exactly where it is. But it works that way. And it, as you hear it, you get that picture. And these things stay with you. And I'm afraid too many of the bad things stay with you. Now, being a part of the soul means that it is accessible to the enemy. Because this part up here, you see, Satan can touch this. Down here, your spirit man, it's been sealed. If you belong to Christ, this has been sealed. But up here, this soulish part of you is still open, and it's operating in the fleshly part, in the fleshly nature. And Satan has access to get in here. And, of course, the Word tells you in Psalms that a curse cannot causeless come. But, my goodness, how many causes do we give him to enter in a day's time? You never stop to think about, hey, how many times did I break God's rule? The Word says that everything that is not of faith is sin. And how often do we walk totally in faith? You see how many open doors we can get, and Satan can have an access to you. Doesn't mean every time you're saying you got a demon. That does not mean that. But many times you do. You say, well, I don't see these things at work in my life. Well, not everything that comes in goes to work the minute it walks in. It sits dormant till it gains enough strength. I explain it with the worst thing I can think of, in my estimation, of flesh and man, a homosexual spirit. Now, that's horrible. Homosexual spirit comes in. I'm not a homosexual, but that spirit's in there. And he doesn't do anything but sit dormant. And every time I sin, he brings in another spirit. And I sinned again, and he brought in another one. And another one. And started out with a little group that he was head of. But he was head man. And when he got enough strength over this group, that's when he began to take over. And he says, try it. Try it. You might just might like it. He puts you in a situation. Now, that's how the devil works. He said, well, I'd never do that. We are capable of the most hideous crimes that are in this world today without the Lord Jesus Christ. This fleshly man is capable of doing anything, because the devil is working to make us blinded to the Lord Jesus Christ so that we cannot operate in His power. So this is an explanation of what we're dealing with before we start in on this. Let's see what else. We have many doors, and some of the causes that cause this is in Genesis, in the third chapter of Genesis. In verse 10 he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. That's Adam speaking. The Lord has called Adam. He's walked in the garden. He's called Adam again. And Adam, somebody talked about this morning, and I think it was this morning that I heard this, that, Eve was the one that sinned. No, Adam stood by her. Read it. Adam was there. He was right there. He saw this thing take place. And he, if this word is true, he's the head of the family. He should have said, lay it down. Don't touch it. But he didn't do anything. Not only did he allow her to eat it, but he took and ate of himself. That is, he partook of this knowledge himself. He let her have it, and he took of it also. So you don't blame the woman. Adam was right there also. But the thing was, this is how he got into shape, and the Lord came calling for him in the garden. And the end of the day, a very cool, nice day, Adam, where are you, Adam? Well, Adam and Eve were naked, but you see, they were not ashamed of their nakedness, because there was no shame in the world. They didn't have knowledge of evil at all, so there was no shame in nakedness. And that's the way it should be, but knowledge entered in, the wrong knowledge entered in. So they hid themselves. They formed leaves to cover themselves. And Adam says, I was afraid. I was afraid. So being disobedient, thank you, Lord, taking care of that in Jesus' name. Disobedience brings fear into our lives by being disobedient, and knowing that we have been disobedient opens the door for fear to enter in. Look at Proverbs 1. Verse 24, Proverbs 1, verse 24. He says, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity, and I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, and I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. And that's the only fear that we can safely hold on to in our lives, is to fear the Lord. Now, you say, well, what kind of fear are we talking about? Well, that's reverential fear. That's awe of God and the power and the mightiness of our God. How great He is. You can't describe my God. There's no way you can tell me and fully describe all of the attributes of my God. He is so great. John wrote that if everything was written about the works of Jesus, that the world wouldn't even contain the books. And that's how great my God is. So, when we have disobeyed God, and as these people did, we know that, let me throw one at you right now. We call ourselves the Israel of today, do we not? Everybody agree on that? Does anybody have a problem with that today? That you are the Israel of today? What am I talking about? We come by the faith of Abraham. We come in faith through Abraham's faith, and we receive in the faith, and that throws us back in the lineage of that. Well, if you agree to that, We are Israelites, aren't we not? Well, what did God do with the Israelite children when they disobeyed? He took them out of the land. They were almost destroyed. They destroyed great numbers of them. They killed numbers of them. The soldiers came in. They ripped up the city. They tore the temple down. They took the things out of the temple. They did everything to disgrace the people of Israel. Why? Because they disobeyed their God. And we say, well, we're all right, God. You understand our situation. And you know about this situation, and that's why I didn't obey your word. Well, how long do you think God's going to wink at this and close his eye? God is not, he is a God of grace. And grace only works for those who obey the Lord. Did you know that? That's the only way grace works, is for those who obey the Lord. And if we're not obeying the Lord, we are not walking under grace today. And I'm not trying to put fear in. I want you, somebody has to warn people that, hey, there is a judgment back there that we're going to. And if we don't do it here, when we get there, it's too late to do it. Now is the time to clean up these things in our life. So, we need to get right with God. Hebrews in the first chapter is another reason that we find that fear comes upon us in the verse seven. And the angels of saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers flames of fire, but unto the Son he saith, that's not the one I want. I'm sorry, I missed one. 11:7. I missed the first one. 11:7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. What would have happened today? Where would you be today if Noah hadn't prepared an ark? Ever stop to think about that one? If Noah hadn't operated in faith, everybody else was killed, wasn't it? Noah and his family were the only family that survived. There would have been this whole earth. God would have had to start it over completely to put something on this earth had it not been for Noah's faith. And fear of the Lord and the judgment that was coming upon the earth for its lawlessness caused Noah to listen to the Lord and build an ark when he hadn't even seen it rain. What's rain, Lord? What is rain? And you want me to build an ark? What are you talking about? What's rain? But not only did it rain, the ground gushed water out of it. It opened up and flooded from the ground to fill the earth with water. And it was a judgment for God, from God, because His people had disobeyed all of His word up to that point. Lawlessness had ruled the earth through those first generations. Then we read in the New Testament, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end time. That puts a lot of people in a bad position, let me tell you. Because we have not obeyed the word of the Lord. We are only a handful of people here. This is Sunday, isn't it? We lose track of time in this place. This is Sunday. I don't know how many people went to church today outside of this group here. But where I live, when I go down from my house to preach on Sunday morning, I pass a flea market, an open flea market, that there's a lot more people there than there is in any church in town. In my church, the denominational church that I left many years ago, had about 1,600 members in it. And it had a Sunday count of people as about 900 to 1,000, and there were over 1,000 people, I'm sure, in that flea market every Sunday morning. This is where we are, people. Every store in town is open. It's a merchandising day. People work all week. We've got to stay open on Sunday. This is the only day they have to shop. And you see how logic overrides the Word of God. That is, man's logic overrides His Word. And they began to do whatever they want to do. But God is a God of mercy, but He's also a God of judgment. Joshua, the second chapter. Got a second one to go with that one. Thank you. The children of Israel have come out of Egypt, and they've come up to the Jordan River. And there's a little town across the river there named Jericho. And they're about to go over and take Jericho, where we're reading here today. Joshua 2. The men came in to spy out the town. And somebody reported that they were there, and they said they saw them talking to a harlot. And they went and questioned the harlot, and she said in verse 9, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when He came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. Fear gripped them, gripped this woman. And because God had a woman in that place at that time who was listening to know what happened, and the fear came upon her, she hid those spies that came in to spy out the town. And as soon as the soldiers left, she let them down outside the wall from her wall house, with the promise that they would come and take care of her family when they took the town. She knew that they were coming. She knew that judgment was upon them, and that they would fall, the town would fall, but she wanted her family saved. And God honored it. My God is a just God. Oh, when you find He said something, you can base your life on it. You can lay it down. It's going to happen. The only thing is, you got to meet the condition that He said to make it work. And we kind of slip that one a little bit. We tend to not look at that too good. But this is the thing that makes it work. There's always a condition. It makes every one of these promises work, and they will work. I tell people, I don't know how many. Somebody says there's 3,500 or 3,200 promises. I don't know. I don't care. But I want to tell you this, that every one of them will work. Now, I'll stand and stake my life on it that every promise in this Word will work. I wanted to go further than that. It'll work for you. Every one of them will work for you when you meet the condition that was set down for it to work. But it will not, unless God's grace just draws you by His Spirit to get you to come in, and His goodness, it says His goodness will draw you, just His goodness will, and that's the only way these things will work outside of your being obedient. So we need to learn to be obedient to our God, and This fear, you know, fear, I don't know, well, got it somewhere in you, I guess, clamps down on you and it hinders you from doing anything. Some of you have experienced this. Sudden, great fear. Only once or twice have I realized, I was helping my father-in-law one time work on a car. And he walked around on the other side and it was up on jacks and he was going to turn the motor over. And he stepped up in the car and turned the switch key on. This is years ago, not autumn, not modern cars the way it is. That car ran off of the jack and pinned me under and drug me about 8 or 10 feet. And all I could see was the back wheels, and every time it dragged me, it put my feet right under the back, in front of the back wheels, and they were rolling over under my feet, and I had to keep kicking out. I thought about that when I got out. He came around, and my wife's daddy was a very small man. Very slender man. I bet he didn't weigh 150 pounds. This was a 1942 Buick. I don't know whether you know anything about a Buick or not. He reached down to the side of that car and stood straight up holding that car. Strength like you, he was scared silly. Yes, he manifested. And he picked that car up on one side. I rolled down flat and I said, "You can lay it down now, I'm clear." He grabbed my heels and he drugged me out from under that car to see if I was damaged in any way. But I was the one that got scared too, you know. And at that point it hadn't really settled in on me. And I walked in the house, and this was years ago when there was not an electric ice box in that house. It was an old ice box you put ice in. You ever seen one of those? An ice box, put ice up in the top, and you got doors down at the front you put your food in. My wife was standing there chipping me some ice off and making me a glass of water, and I went out. It got to me just right then. And I reached over and I got the edge of that thing. I couldn't hold on to it. And they had to grab me and pick me up. Now that's what fear does. It incapacitates you. It will totally, and you would want to serve God and you would want to do the right thing, but fear will stop you from doing the thing that you desire to do. That's why I'm talking to you about fear today and how devastating it is in your life. It will totally make you so you cannot do the things that you would do and want to do. And we take it very light. I look through the Word of God. I look through the manual, the deliverance manual. And he covers fear, but he just lists fear. And occasionally he'll put fear of man or fear of woman or something, one or two like this in there. But there's not a chapter in that book on fear. I tried. I really looked and hunted some help in this thing to find out exactly all of as much as I could about it to bring to you today so that we would be better prepared when these things attack us. Fear. It is the opposite of faith. Stop and think about it. Faith will not work when fear is working. Fear, I'll give you a better definition of it. It'll really throw you. Fear is faith in the devil. You're afraid he's going to do what you dread, what you said. And you believe it to the point that you freeze up inside. And you are afraid, and it's disaster that's coming upon you. And the disaster, of course, brings fear. The thought of the disaster brings fear. So it is the exact faith, opposite of faith, and it ties us up to that point in life. So we need to recognize why we don't need to walk in fear. And how do you keep out of fear? There's only one way you can keep from walking in fear. As that is, put our trust in the Lord and believe in Him to the degree that we will obey and walk with Him. Because if disobedience brought in fear, then true faith in the Lord obedience to Him will bring about the faith that we desire. In John, the 20th chapter, there's several of these things that we can touch on today. John 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." The disciples were afraid of what? Of being persecuted. The Jewish people, they were of the old line, law-abiding, Only they didn't abide by it. They just claimed to abide by the law and live by the law. And they did not accept Jesus Christ, so they were afraid that they were going to come and take them and put them in jail, and what else they did not know. So they hid themselves in the room and were very much afraid. So fear of persecution opens the door to us for the enemy to move in. And when we fear, of course, what we're talking about is when we fear a demon comes in. Most of you know about the restoration of the soul. It's been taught here so much, you know, most of you know about it. Some possibly that might have never even heard about it. But you need your soul restored. Why did it say in Psalms 23, He restoreth my soul? And again in Psalms 19, he speaks of it, and the alternate word is restore. It doesn't say restore, but it says a companion word, and in the center column it does say restore. And we have need of restoration, and he talks about it in other places, and my wife has many teachings on this, that she's taught this, and she's taught it here. And he talks about in Psalms that your soul is torn and it is fragmented. Why? The enemy comes in. Here, this is the playground, I call it, for the enemy. This is the place that he works. This is the place he's going to come in and do his damage. He's going to operate from right out of here. If he can control your mind, if he can do enough to get a hold of your mind and control here, then he's got you. He controls your actions, what you do. And he is doing it in a great degree today in the land today. Much more, you see it much more and recognize it in those that are unchurched people, unsaved. Why are there drive-by killings today? What causes people just to drive down the street and down the street and shoot somebody and kill them? It happens all of the time in our community, where we are. Usually there's one a week, at least. And these people have no conscience whatsoever. I mean, it doesn't matter to them. Oh, I can do some first-time offense, so I can do a little prison time. That's all right, it doesn't matter. And if I get in prison, you see, I can learn from the pros down here. And they go to prison. And it doesn't bother them that they've killed somebody. You should sit in the courtroom sometime and listen to the lame excuses of why people do these things. And they're not ashamed. It does not bother them one iota that they've done these things. Their conscience has been seared so, and the soul, the portion of that soul has been removed. That is, it's covered with the demonic powers to where they can't think for themselves. They're not capable of reasoning out. They're not capable of turning to the Lord even, because every time they make an effort to turn, this thing up here says, no, no, no. And we have to learn, you and I have to learn, that when situations come up in our life, to say no. Because we know better. But if we don't start saying no, those things are going to get control of us, because we open the doors and they come in little by little. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's not the murder that we do. It's the little things that we lie and we steal and we cheat. And they get control of us through these little things. And pretty soon they get enough power within themselves to take over. Or take over a portion of your mind. And once they do that, they can open doors for you to operate and through the devil, for the power of the devil, and for the devil to lead you, just like he's got a ring in your nose. Have you ever seen anybody? Now, you've seen an old bull where they put rings in the nose. You can control one of them like that. Well, these people are controlling this as though they had a ring in the nose. That's tender, you know. That's how you control one. Put that ring in there and it's tender, and he starts to move around. You pull that string, that cord or that rope, and he'll obey in a hurry. Well, the devil's got rings in people's nose today. And he knows where to pull. He knows which chain to pull to get you to do something. You say, well, we're Christian. We don't do those things. We have so many open doors. I fear so much. We have so many open doors that the devil is able, almost at will, to attack you and I. Simply because we came out of the background of serving the world and the things of the world. And many of us have never stopped doing it. The things of the flesh. We have operated in the fleshly nature. We have operated in the things of the flesh and the things of the world. And we still do it. The greatest pull in our lives is to make enough money to be comfortable, to feed the family, and have a good car and a good home, and all the things that we desire. Self, it's all turned in. In the land today, this is where it's operating. And it's because of these demonic powers that have gotten hold of people because fathers have not taught their children. And this is where it was supposed to be. Fathers were to teach the children, but we failed. And the world has come to this place. And we operate in under fear so much. The Bible doesn't talk about a whole lot about it except the fear of the Lord. And it's got an awful lot of fear of the Lord in it. Get a concordance sometime and look. It's just line column after column of fear of the Lord. And it's hard to find where it talks about these fears of things. Why? Because if you will obey the Lord, there's no need to worry about any of this other stuff. God has already taken care of it. I keep telling people, why are you worried about things? Having the need to supply food for your table, an automobile to drive in, a house to live in, clothing to wear. Why? Go read Matthew 6 chapter. Start at about 29, 30, somewhere along that, and go down to 35, 36. It ends up with, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things are going to be added unto you. And if God has already taken care of it, why are we worrying about it? We have not trusted God. It does not sound reasonable. We're not doing it, so apparently we didn't trust God to take care of our needs. Acts of nature also cause fear. In Acts, the 27th chapter, verse 14 says, but not long after there arose a great tempestuous wind called Europe. Somebody pronounce that for me. Huh? Yeah, a southeaster. A strong one, yes, hallelujah. We had a very strong wind, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, he let her drive. And running under a certain island which is called Claudia, they had much work to come by in the boat. And when they were taken up, they used helps under guarding the ship, fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, they strake sails and were so driven. And we know that this is an act of nature, is this strong wind that hit these men in the boat. Let's drop down. Let's read one more verse. Verse 29 says, then fearing lest they should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. You know that they did tear up the ship. The ship broke up. And they were cast on an island. But God took care of them, didn't He? Because they listened to Paul. And Paul believed in his God. And when Paul talked to the men about God has already taken care of this situation, they believed. And you and I need to learn to believe and just trust in the Lord. In Mark, in the 4th chapter, 37, verse 37, he said, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat on the ship so that it was now full, and he was in the hinder part, and speaking of Jesus now, he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Jesus spoke to that wind, but they were very fearful. Don't you care that if we perish, we are afraid we're going to be killed or drowned in this water. So acts of nature bring fear to us. Acts 9, verse 26. And when Saul was coming to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. They were suspicious. You see, Paul had been killing the Christians. He had been hauling them into the jail, and many were killed. They were jailed. And they were afraid of Paul until they got the word that Paul was now preaching the Jesus that they believed in. Do you really, really stop and consider what a great God we serve? Well, we know He's big, and the universe is out there, what He's done. But what about down in here in you and I? How He's taken care of you, me, and watched over us. He's brought me through sickness. Yeah, I opened doors and then let the devil get a hold of me. But Jesus took care of me. He's brought me through it. He's carried me on out of it. Thank God I didn't get what I deserved. But he was merciful to me, and he's brought me to the point where I can stand before you this day. And I tell you how bad I was. That was another life. That was another person. I was born again. And in that birth, there was a new creation made. And it happened at every one of us who received this new creation. And I'm not talking about saying I received Jesus and I'm going to get baptized and get ducked in the water and get me sit down on a pew and that's it. That's salvation here. Talking about the salvation of the spirit man, and when the spirit comes in to move into your life and to take control, and you say, Lord, whatever you want, I'm willing for whatever you want now. I can go back. I've got a mental post nailed down in the floor of an old building. The building's torn down, but that post is still there, right in that spot. I know exactly where it is when I gave my life to the Lord. I'd been in church all my life. And I'd been ducked in the water when I was 12 years old. But it didn't mean a thing. But when I did that, I say, devil, look at it. Look at it. I belong to Jesus. You have no right to me any longer. That's my spot right there. That's the point of life when he changed me. He came in to my life and he changed me. And if you have not seen the change in your life, you need to let Jesus do some work in you. Because there is definitely a change in your life when you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I came from a background where there were so many, many people that came in that only received soul salvation, is the way I put it, because it never got any further. You know, the Baptists say, well, you got to get it 18 inches deeper. You got to go from here down to here. And that's true. Really, it's true. You got to get it down here. Are you getting in a deliverance yet? If God spoke to you about how you need to be free, He wants you free. And He's driving out. He wants to drive out all of the fears that you have. He wants to set you free today of any of these things that we've been involved in. And in Genesis, in the 32nd chapter, verse 6 says, and the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee with 400 men with him. And Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided his people that was with him into the flocks and the herds and the camels and the two bands. And he said, if Esau cometh to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. Story is, you know, I'm sure most of you know, Jacob had cheated his brother. He had cheated him out of his birthright. Now, to you don't know about birthrights. You don't know about, we don't operate in that the way those people operated it in. The firstborn got everything. But Esau was the firstborn and Jacob cheated him out of it. And he also, through his mother, came against his father and lied to his father, and then he ran. And he stayed away with a relative for a long time, and he was on his way back, and here comes his brother who he cheated and took his birthright, coming with 400 men to meet him. Don't you know fear overtook that man? Don't you know that he had terror within him? And he has a great family now. He has children. He has two wives. Well, that's right. He has a couple more that got put in there, got on sideways, but he has those two daughters there. And he had to do all this to get the what he wanted. And he's got a big family, and he's afraid his brother's going to kill him. All afraid sometime, and we open ourselves up to do all kinds of things. Praise God, he did not. He sent a great gift to his brother. You know the story. And his brother came and welcomed him. You keep them. He said, no, they're your gifts. I give them to you, and I have plenty. And God did bless him. But God changed that man on the way. He was the one called the supplanter, which means that's the heel catcher. He caught his brother by the heel. And that means he trips you up. He's a sly one. And he changed his name to one who has power with God and with man. That's who he made. He changed his name. He was no longer Jacob, but he was Israel. And God is wanting to do a change in you and I, and he's got to clean us up for us to get that new name within us. And it's been promised in Revelation that there's new names. But we don't need to walk in this fear. Uncertainty stops it. 2 Corinthians 11:3. Got one or two more I want to go through before I've got time. He says, by fear, lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians. He says, I fear for you. I fear for you. And the uncertainty is the reason that he fears. He doesn't know what these people will do. And we don't know. I don't know your situation. I don't know what you're involved in. I have people in my church. I don't know what they do all week long. I know when they come in on church on Sunday morning or on Wednesday night and Sunday night. And we have three services a week. We have Sunday morning and Sunday night yet. And many churches are shut up now on Sunday night. But we still hold three services a week. And I don't know what these people do during the week. I know the part that I see when they come in on Sunday. And I trust the Lord to take care of them. But you see, we are a demon-chasing church. This is what we do. This is what we're known for. We're a church of deliverance. And these people come to us because they need deliverance. And demonized people are capable of doing anything, let me tell you. And I could spend the rest of this evening probably telling you stories of things that have happened just in the church in the last 18 years there. But we didn't come to tell stories. We want you to learn about fear and how to get rid of it. We want you free from your fears. We don't want you to walk in this to open doors. We don't want any open doors in your life to give the enemy any chance whatsoever to operate. Luke 21:26. I'm going to rush on here and get to some deliverance. 25 says, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. We are very much afraid of coming events, of future events. We don't know what's going to happen. We've got a message here that tells us some of the catastrophe that's hitting the earth. That's for those who are not walking with the Lord, though, because you are taken care of. It's promised. You're already taken care of. It talks about the burning of the sea and how everything will be the searing. I think it's judgment that the Lord is doing over the earth. That does not apply to God's people. That applies to those that don't know God. And if He burns up this earth as a cinder, it's not going to have any effect on God's people. But it's not going to burn up simply because we know that the New Jerusalem, God's people, are coming here. Don't you see it in Revelation that the New Jerusalem is coming down? And this is the place and the abode of God's people. We've always looked like they're going away. They're getting up there. We're going to sit up there on a cloud. And some of us thought they were going to sit there and plunk on a harp, you know, on a cloud all day long. Well, that's not true. God's got a plan for you, and He's got work for you, and He's going to put you to work, and it's going to be here on this earth. Yes. Now, I don't know what it's going to be. That's in God's hands. That's not my business. But He is going to do it, and it is in His power. And we'll be involved in it for all those who love the Lord. These final events that are taking place will bring fear. I'm going to look at 18, verse 18, chapter 18 of Luke. Luke 18:29 says, and He said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there is no man that has not left house, nor parents, nor brother, nor wife, nor children, for the kingdom's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. Then He took unto him 12, and He said unto them, behold, we go to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For He shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted upon. And they shall scourge Him and put Him to death, and the third day He shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken, for it came to pass that as they came nigh to Jerusalem, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging, and That's enough. That's far enough. I want to read. The coming events. Jesus says, I'm going into Jerusalem. They're going to crucify me, is what he was saying to them. They're going to kill me. They're going to spit on me. They're going to nail me to a tree. And I'll die there. And these things brought fear unto the disciples. Of course, they knew not the God's plan. You see, we're not open unto God in all that he's doing. We get a portion. The gifts of God. There's gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And when you read about them in 1 Corinthians, you don't get knowledge, you get a word of knowledge. You don't get wisdom, you get a word of wisdom. You see, you get a portion. You get a, he'll give you this much. And if you'll walk in that, then he'll give you some more. And we have to hear and to receive from God and begin to walk in. Otherwise, the enemy moves in because we become disobedient and don't do the thing that God has called us to do. God has a plan. Do you know you are loved greatly by God? Every one of you here, God loves each one of you. It's not a collective love over this camp. It's each individual person here that God loves you and he wants the very best for you. And he's saying, come on, you can make it. You can make it. Just follow me. Be obedient to the word and come on. I'll do the work. The praisers went before the battle, and God did the work. He says, if you'll be obedient to me, I'll go before you, I'll do the work. It's not up to you. I used to wonder, how on earth can I ever do the things that are called for in this word? And I can't do it. You can't do it either. It's impossible for us to be what God has called a man to be, for us to do it in the flesh. Only when we trust in God and say, God, you do it now. Well, set us free, Lord. Set us free. Death was the last thing that I have here in Hebrews, the second chapter. I have a scripture about it. Hebrews 2, verse 15 says that, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The fear of death brings bondage. That's what that's taught. It says right there, but it opens the door for the bondage to come in. It just allows the enemy control and rule over us. So, if we serve God, God has already made a promise to us. You believe God? Do you really believe Him? Well, then all of this is taken care of. Now, I don't know. I've never died. So I don't know how it's going to be. But I trust my God. And I've heard others talk about, Howard Pittman's coming in here. He's going to tell you what it feels like. Many of us have already heard Howard several times. But he's going to tell you when he gets here what it's like. But I understand it is a transition of going through this door over here into this room. And, oh yes, this is going to change, and I'll drop this old earthly suit and put on my heavenly suit. And I'll just go through, and that part of me will be changed. And God will do a work in me. I don't know how it's going to happen. Never, as I said, I've never been there before. But God knows how, and I don't have to worry about it because He does know how, and He has already promised that He's going to take care of it. And I don't have to fear death. You don't have to fear death. It is simply the transition of one age into another age. Let's put it that way. From old yearly time that we spend by yearly numbers into eternity. It's into eternity that we walk in. And there's no time there. We sing, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's grace than when we first begun. And it goes on and on and on and just keeps going on. And the presence of our God for those who love the Lord and have put down the enemy that harasses it. Oh, praise God. Praise God. 2 Timothy 1:10. I'm going the wrong way. Get your head on straight here. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and has brought life eternal, brought life immortal, and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's my Lord. That's my God. Hey, that's my God talking there. He's brought immortality to us. What's that? Never dying. Immortality. We're mortal people. What is mortal people? Mortal people are dying people. And we need to be dying people. You know you need to be dying people? You need to be dying to the desires of the flesh and all of this that we have learned in our walk in the world. We need to lay that aside and die to all that and say, okay, Lord, what do you want now? You do it. Whatever you want to do. Right in this body. Come live in this body and do what you want to do. That's what he's talking about. That's the program he's got for us, that we will be hands for the Lord, feet for the Lord, a mouth for the Lord. And whatever he wants, that's what we'll be doing. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh. You know that old Job. You remember Job. Never will forget, a minister friend of ours said that he got a guy turned on to the Lord. He didn't know the first thing about the Bible. But he said he told him about Jesus and he latched on to it. And he said he was really a nuisance. Every time you see him, he said, I got something to find, I want to show you. And he'd get his Bible and he'd go show him something. And he said it was really, he'd go in the restaurant in the morning to get his cup of coffee. And here he'd come with his Bible. I found something new I want to show you. And everywhere he went. So one morning he come in. He said, you know, he said, I found something in Job this morning. And he hadn't learned the name of it yet, but he found it in there. It wasn't Job yet, it was Job at that time, but he found it. And praise God, we are looking for it. I don't care how you name it, if you'll find it from the Lord will bless you if you'll seek him with all your heart. He said in his word in the New Testament to study. To show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed of anything, rightly dividing this word here, that it is truth, and to understand it, to separate anybody that comes up and says, gives you a statement, you say, no, that's wrong. The word says, I don't receive that because the word says, and we better learn to walk like this. This is the way we're going to have to walk. You know, the Bible talks, especially in the first and second Timothy, about the end time and the perilous times coming upon us and the seduction of the spirits and all of this. Let me tell you, people that don't read the Bible, don't know the Bible, there's perilous times coming upon us, I'm afraid. Nobody knows what's going to happen when this computer thing turns over. Nobody knows. I praise God, I don't think anything's going to happen. But I don't know. But if it does, the world out there is going to be in some kind of trouble because they don't know how to trust in the Lord for anything. And I'll tell you, if that thing does happen, and there's some mighty important people saying that parts of it are going to happen, and I'm not trying to decide whether yes or no, but I'll tell you this, I'm going to do my part to get it ready as well as I can. I'm not afraid of it. Amen. And I'm trusting in the Lord. And I'm going to do a little preparation. And leave it in the hands of God. And from that point on, but those people out there, it's going to be hard if this thing comes to pass. Oh, hallelujah. In the third chapter of Job, he says in 23, why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in? For my sighing cometh before me, before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me. Do you know that when you start fearing things, if you do fear, shut your mouth. Let me put it this way. Shut your mouth. Don't talk about it. Do you know that the devil will take anything that you say and he'll work with it? Did you know the devil will answer prayers? Only he won't answer them the way you prayed. He'll answer them his way. And he'll run ahead of God to give you something false when God would give you the right thing. And it comes from the words of how much scripture do we have about the power of the word? There's life and death in it. It's in this tongue of ours, it says. And I'm not just talking something out of my own ability to just say, hey, this could happen. I'm talking about this word here that says there's power in this tongue. And the devil will hear what we say, and he will many times bring to pass those fears that we have. And that's why I say shut up. Shut up. Just shut your mouth. Don't talk about it. I have enough trouble without advertising and getting him on my coattail for these things. We fight him all the time. We're a family that believes in fighting the enemy, and we do this all of the time. It says in Proverbs 29:25, it said, the fear of man brings a snare. We're not going to turn to it. It's just that's the one statement that it makes. Fear of man brings a snare, and if we're afraid of men, why would you fear man? What man can do you? He says, my God is greater than anything. And he says that he's greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. So, we don't need to open ourselves to fear in any area at all. In the first chapter of Proverbs, verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We begin to get some smarts when we start fearing God. Now, you and I can gain knowledge, but if you don't have wisdom, you don't even know what to do with knowledge. Amen. You can't line up knowledge if you don't have wisdom of how to put it together. And we need the wisdom of God, not man's wisdom. You know, there's a scripture over in the New Testament that says that bodily exercise profiteth little. I like that. Oh, she likes that. You know, if that's true, and that's the Word of God, so it has to be true, that means that this fleshly part of this doesn't have a whole lot to do with our relationship with God and our fellowship with Him. That if I seek His wisdom and His Word bringing forth into me, then that is what I need to operate in the world today. I need God's wisdom. And if we do not get God's wisdom, many are going to fall before this end time, because that's the only thing that's going to carry us on out into the presence of our God, so that we can stand before Him. And when the books are open, He'd say, welcome. That your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. A couple more. Romans 8. That's a good chapter. I want to use one verse, though. 15 says, "For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we receive the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father." God does not bring fear. God won't even make you fear Him. God won't make you do anything. God is not a God with an iron stick beating on your head, driving you. God gave you a free will. You are able to choose to do the thing that you want to do. Now, He presents to you His side and says, this is best. But the enemy is out there on the other side, now you can choose. But it comes up, it doesn't come up as the enemy, it's the flesh and the world. And that doesn't say enemy, does it? But it truly is. That is the things of the world. God cannot tolerate the things of the world. Church paper, no, it wasn't in church papers, in the newspaper, the other day said that one of the local churches had hired a minister of recreation. A minister of recreation. They think that To keep the young people, you have to bring the things of the world into the church. And they make centers of basketball, swimming, some of them even pool tables, and things to do to bring, to keep the interest of the young people. Huh? Oh, yeah, they brought the dancing in our area, too. Their churches hold dances in the church. We read about it ever so often. But, you know, I have discovered that my Bible does not need anything to help it bring and hold the interest of God's people. It is sufficient within itself. When they called us to pastor a church, they wanted to be different. They wanted a completely different church. We've been in a denominational church, and we want to be different. We received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we want to be different. You know, the very first thing they did, they wanted to get us a choir. Then we want a children's church. And I said, no, you're not going to have either one of them. The Word works for children as well as it does for adults if you will meet them on their level. And it ended up that my grandchildren were in the church, and I've seen my 7-year-old granddaughter sit an 72-year-old woman down and manifest her and call a demon out of her. And the other one, the older one, when I heard Mildred talking about it, somebody here might have been upstairs for the women, or might have been yesterday. When one of them gets sick at night, they go get the other one and wake them up and tell them, says, "I pray for me." And they pray for each other, and if they can't get any relief, then they go get the parents. And one's, at that time, what, 7 and 9? And they were brought up in our church. But that was Christian parents also now. Well, yeah, I'll leave that alone. God is sufficient. His Word is sufficient. Okay, I'm going to use one more scripture. Proverbs in the 3rd chapter. And then I'm going to quit and we're going to have some deliverance. Three twenty-three. Then thou shalt walk safely, walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, if thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. How much more promise do you want? Don't fear. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Heavenly Father, bless your word, I understand. Let it find residence within us. Let it bring forth fruit in our lives, Father. We didn't get up here just to talk, Lord. We don't even need to talk, Father, but your word needs to go forth and to bring forth fruit. So I pray fruit in this through this session today in Jesus' name. Does anybody have a fear here that you really know about in your life you'd like to get rid of? Don't be ashamed of anything. We all there's not a person here that does not have fear. Now, let me tell you this to start with. Everybody has some kind of fears in them. So don't be ashamed of anything. But do you know something special that you need to get rid of? Otherwise, I've got a list. I'm going to call fears off. Don't worry about that. But I thought if we could... Okay, just 1 second. Let me get over here on this page where I've got something listed. Okay. Fear of failure. Fear of failure. I call it fear of failure out in the name of Jesus. I bind that spirit of fear of failure. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I command to turn my brother loose. In Jesus' name. Loose his mind in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come out of his soul in the name of Jesus. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus. It is the Lord. It is Jesus that commands you to come out of this. It is not my doing it. It is the name of Jesus. Now come out of him. Come on out of him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come out of him. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let him go. Let him go. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Come on out. Come on out. All that fear. Fear. Fear of failure. Fear of failure. Let him go. Let him go. Every vestige of it in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay. Whatever.
I don't know. Lois, I got it or not. My friend said that I needed to be delivered from my fear of ice. We can't back out 2 days because of ice on the road. I think it's common sense, but if it's fear, I want to get rid of it.
What is it, the accident? Is that what?
I just don't want to be on it.
On ice? The fear of the ice. I'll call it fear of the ice. I'll name it just as fear of ice in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I command it to loose my sister in the name of Jesus. You have no place here in Jesus' name. Loose her. Loose her. Fear of ice. Fear of the ice on the ground. Fear of falling and fear of accidents. Come on out of her in the name of Jesus. Let her go. Let her go in Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. What? Fear of man. Fear of man. Let her go. Let her go in the name of Jesus. I bind that fear of man in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I command it to loose her. Loose my sister in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on out of her. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Fear of man in the name of Jesus. I take authority over you in Jesus' name. I say in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, to loose this body and come out. Loose her mind in Jesus' name. Come on out. Come on out. Come on out in Jesus' name. Let her go. Let her go. Let her go in the name of Jesus. All that fear of man. Fear of man. Yes, yes, you've got to go. You've got to go. You're discovered. You can't stay there. You can't hide. And there's no place for you to hide here any longer in Jesus' name. Now loose her body. Loose her mind, her will, and her emotions. In the name of Jesus, let her go. Let her go. Let her go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone else have a special name? I think we had all of those covered in our list, but fear of rejection. Fear of being rejected. In the name of Jesus, I call out rejection, the fear of rejection. In Jesus' name, let them go. Let them go. Come out. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. Fear of rejection. Rejection. The Lord rebuke you. Fear of rejection. Come on out. Come on out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Fear of the unknown. Fear of the unknown. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. All the fears of the unknown in the name of Jesus. The uncertainty in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You have no place in God's people. Let them go. Fear of the unknown in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That fear of man. I call that fear of man out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak it again. Man. Fear of man. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Fear of being disapproved. Fear of being disapproved. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. Fear of condemnation. Fear of condemnation. Being condemned. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes. Fear of condemnation. Fear of accusation. Fear of accusation. Come out. Come out. Being accused. Fear of being accused. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. All right, look, work with me. If you know you have some fears, take a deep breath and blow these things out. Come on, let's work at them to get rid of them. And don't be ashamed of them. Just get rid of them. Let's leave here free. Let's leave here so the Lord will have a fresh, clean body to work with. Condemnation and accusation, fear of reproof, fear of failure, fear of God, fear of God, fear of hell. Come out, come out. All those spirits, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Fear of showing love. Fear of showing love in Jesus' name. Fear of Satan. Fear of Satan, come out in Jesus' name. Fear of the future. Fear of the future. Fear of dying. Fear of dying. Fear of mental breakdown. Come out. Come out. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. Fear of mental breakdowns. Come out. Come out. Fear of serious illness. Serious illness. Come out. Fear of change. Fear of being changed. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. That fear of change. We need to be a changing people. We need to change to the Lord to lay aside the things of the world. We need to change today in Jesus' name. That fear of change, I bind that spirit of fear of change, and I command it to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Fear of the dead. Fear of the dead. Fear of snakes. Fear of snakes. Fear of darkness. Fear of darkness. Afraid of you're going to have a divorce. Fear of divorce. Fear of catastrophe. Fear of catastrophe. Fear of homosexuality. Fear of homosexuality. Fear of competition. Fear of competition. Fear of being hurt. Fear of being hurt. Fear of women. Fear of women. Fear of cowardice. Fear of cowardice. Fear of suicide. Fear of suicide. Fear of loss of love. The loss of love. Loss of a loved one. Loss of love. Come out. Come on out of here. Come out. Move. Move, demon. Go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Fear of rape. Fear of authority. Fear of judgment. Fear of persecution. Fear of defeat. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Fear of revenge. Fear of failing. Fear of lack of anything. Lack of anything. Not having enough. Fear of sickness. Fear of sickness. Got to touch anything in your life? Is anything you really need to get rid of there? Come on out. Come on out in Jesus' name. Rejection. Fear of rejection. Fear of man. Fear of disapproval. Fear of condemnation. Fear of accusation. Fear of reproof. Fear of failure. Fear of God. Fear of hell. Fear of showing love. Fear of Satan. Fear of the future. Fear of dying. Fear of a mental breakdown. Fear of serious illness. Fear of change. Fear of change. Fear of the dead. Fear of snakes. Fear of darkness. Fear of divorce. Fear of catastrophe in your life. Fear of competition. Fear of being hurt. Just being hurt. Fear of women. Fear of cowardice. Being a coward. Fear of suicide. You might want to get to the point that you'd rather dispose of your own self. Suicide has to go. Has to go. Loss of love. Fear of rape. Fear of authority. Fear of judgment. Fear of persecution. Fear of defeat. Fear of revenge. Fear of failure. Fear of lack. Fear of sickness. Anybody have anything you want to add to that list? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. We'll go to some just other demons then. I call jealousy out. I call it spirit of jealousy. Jealousy. Brooding in the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. Resentful spirits. Bitterness. I call bitterness out. Spirit of bitterness. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Strong delusion. Strong delusion in the name of Jesus. The doctrine of devils. Doctrine of devils. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. A reprobate mind. Lunacy. Spirit of lunacy. A seared conscience. Unrighteousness. Unforgiveness. Spirit of unforgiveness. Come out. Come out. Loose them and let them go. Unforgiveness. Maliciousness. Envy. Root of bitterness. Root of bitterness. Let them go. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. Come out. Root of bitterness. Deceit. A double-minded spirit. Double-minded spirit. Little faith. Just little faith. Backbiting. Boasting. Evil works. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Covenant breakers. Evil thoughts. I know. Okay. And malice. That's one more. Malice. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Father, I thank you for deliverance. I thank you for setting some people free from some... From some fears, Lord. I don't know what all you did. I trust in you, Lord. I trust that you've done a work this day in some people. It's not up to me, Lord, and I thank you that it's not. I thank you that you're in control of this meeting. And I praise you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Father, I ask you to cleanse our church. Take everything out. Every demon out of this church is free to roam these halls here in this building in the name of Jesus. Carry them to the pit or wherever you desire to put them, Lord. in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remove them, though. And I bind the spirits of backlash that would come against this people in the name of the Lord Jesus. All the backlash are a retaliation from having sat in deliverance in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I bind those spirits. I also ask you, Lord, to fill every person here with your Holy Spirit. Those that have lives that are in a receptive mood, Lord, to receive all that you have, to fill with your Holy Spirit, to fall, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to fill us afresh and anew with a fresh filling, a new anointing, the new wine, Lord. The new wine is what we desire this day. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for all your mighty works and what you're doing. Thank you, Lord. And I thank you for the deliverance in Jesus' name. Now, Father, for the spiritual food, we praise you and thank you, but for the physical food we're about to partake, we give you glory and honor. We bless those who have worked to prepare this food, those who have worked on the tables, those who will clean the dishes, all the workers of the kitchen, those that have given unselfishly of themselves to prepare that we may have a good meal. We praise you, Father, for bringing those people here. We dedicate this food to the nourishment of our body. We bind the enemy away from any portion of the deal, not contaminated in any way, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just praise you and we thank you that we may eat without fear and know that we're eating a food that has been blessed of the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.